the whole 6010.
Welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today's podcast presented by Geico. Switch to Geico. See all the ways that you could save. Daniel and Field here.
Let's go.
Hanging out with you. Normally, Liz Loza is going to join us, but there were some technical difficulties that we had today. So
she ditched us. Week one, so, NBD.
Yeah, no big deal. We're going to be back with Liz here in week two. However, Field and I are going to run through so many things that happened today, Sunday. We are taping this Sunday night as Sunday Night Football is happening right now. In case you are listening to this podcast.
Well, you are. It's Monday.
It's Monday.
Happy Monday to you all. And we're going to get you through that case of the Mondays.
That's right. And this podcast came out at 5 in the morning. Every Monday, you can count on having this show
ready
for you at 5 a.m. The live show will be available at 10 a.m. on YouTube like normal. And we're going to be doing the podcast on Tuesday at 10 a.m. just like usual. So, Field.
Yep.
With all that out of the way, there's just so much to talk about. Let's get into week one. I want to talk about who crushed it, who flushed it. New segment, you tell me who crushed it this week.
And by the way, following this, we'll do a game-by-game recap. Always love to get into those. But let's start with some players who absolutely crushed it this week. And this is sort of just like handing out some hardware to the guys that deserve a crowning achievement.
That's
I want
right.
to start with my friend, Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah, we're friends. I said it out loud. Ja'Marr Chase had a career-high 16 targets today. The net result was 10 catches for 128 receiving yards, making 129 receiving yards. He had a touchdown. He actually had another one that I thought was a touchdown. Mm. I was surprised the Bengals didn't end up challenging it because it looked like it was across the plane. Either way, Ja'Marr Chase was amazing, just like you expected him to be, which is why I used a first-round pick on Ja'Marr Chase. Saquon Barkley showed out today for the New York Giants. He had 18 rushes, 164 rushing yards, more than any other player in all the NFL in week one. He had a rushing touchdown. He scored the go-ahead two-point conversion with 1:06 left to go. He had 6 catches for 30 yards. He has more fantasy points in week one than any other running back. Salute to you, Saquon Barkley. Jonathan Taylor did Jonathan Taylor things. 31 rushes, 161 yards, and a touchdown. And just as importantly, he had 7 targets on Sunday for the Colts tie. Ties are so anticlimactic. They don't exist in fantasy football unless you play with non-decimal scoring, which you should not do. And finally, our guy, Justin Jefferson. 9 catches, 184 yards, 2 touchdowns. Much of that came in the first half against the Packers, who had no answer for him. Here's the reality. Going into the season, we all wondered who will be wide receiver one, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. Should any of them be in the conversation for number two overall? The answer of which one's the best is yes. They're all the best. They're all incredible. These guys all crushed it in week one. That is what we call an instant impact. On the other side of the ledger, though, Daniel, are guys who left you scratching your head like, why did I start them again?
Yeah, we had a handful of guys that definitely flushed it. I'm going to start with Kyle Pitts, who was drafted as tight end 3 this year. And unfortunately, if you drafted him, you were starting him, but only 2 catches on 7 targets for 19 yards, 3.9 fantasy points. Drake London was got the guy that you wanted in that Falcons offense today. However, you're starting Kyle Pitts going forward. Don't worry about that. This is just a tough performance. Damian Pierce, on the other hand, this one gave me a little bit of a pause because here's the deal. 19 touches for Rex Burkhead. 12 touches for Damian Pierce. All right, only 7 touch difference. But when you look a little bit deeper, 49 snaps for Rex Burkhead, only 19 for Damian Pierce.
19.
Rex Burkhead outsnapped him by 30. That's something to be able to keep in mind as we're looking forward. I know we all love Damian Pierce, but you got to look at the snap count. You got to look at the way that things are, the offense is using those teams.
Not good, Daniel. Not great.
Alvin Kamara, only 12 touches for 46 yards and 7.6 fantasy points. When you talk about how Juice Landry and Michael Thomas both had really big fantasy days through the air, you were hoping Alvin Kamara was going to be one of them. He wasn't. Better days are ahead, though, for Alvin Kamara from the standpoint. And how about one more? Amari Cooper. I don't want to say this one was sort of planned, but it was going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough sledding for Amari Cooper all year long when you have Jacoby Brissett under center. Until you get to that point, it's going to be the Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt show. So those guys flushed it for me this week.
We don't have a toilet here, but I have a piece of paper that I'm going to crumple up like Tony Reale on Around the Horn. I missed, but it's close enough. I'm with you. Let's flush all those performances down the drain. And by the way, we'll talk about those guys plenty more throughout the week. But let's get into our 1 p.m. slate, Daniel, shall we?
Yeah, we watched the games together, and we were starting with the Bengals and the Steelers. And we got lucky enough to have 5 quarters of football here.
We did.
I don't know if we were lucky to have 5 quarters of this football.
Yeah, well, let's get to some injuries first. And T. Higgins for the Bengals left this game due to a concussion. We don't know exactly how much time he will miss, if he will miss any, as we always are reminded from Stefania. Those those are non-linear,
yep.
but it opened up an opportunity for Tyler Boyd. We'll discuss him more on the Waiver Wire show with Eric Moody, but Boyd, really good player who just got kind of pushed down the depth chart when yep. both T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase arrived. Najee Harris also left the game for the Steelers. It happened in the fourth quarter. It was a foot slash ankle injury. He'll have an MRI today, Monday. Unclear how much time he will miss, if any, again. But it was weird how the Steelers proceeded beyond Najee Harris once he got injured, because they had a couple guys who got some carries. Jaylen Warren out of Oklahoma State, a rookie who earned a spot, seems like the next man up as far as like traditional running backs.
Okay.
We saw a little bit of Chase Claypool, though. Some of his carries, though, if you go look at the box score, Daniel, there were six of them. Not sure those were like six traditional running back carries. There were reverses, end arounds, things like that. So I think Jaylen Warren would be the guy, not nearly as talented as Najee. And by the way, those offensive line issues for Pittsburgh, not solved.
No.
Najee had 10 carries for 23 yards. He was actually bailed out on Sunday by a 1 yard touchdown catch that kind of saved him. He had nearly 11 fantasy points, but still not great.
Okay, this entire Steelers offense was bailed out. Listen, I love Deontay Johnson getting 12 targets. That's what you want to see from him, but only 12 and a half fantasy points. And on the other side of the football, Joe Burrow was tough in this game.
Yeah, really tough.
It was tough. If you drafted him to be your quarterback one, you're probably still going to roll with them, but you might, you know. Actually, you know what? After this week, I don't know who to look at on the waiver wire from that standpoint.
Well, here's the good news, though, is that like I can't imagine Joe Burrow has repeat performances like this. Four interceptions.
And a fumble.
First time ever, so five turnovers for Joe Burrow. There are certainly better days ahead. And if you go look at his final numbers, he still threw for nearly 340 yards, and he had two passing touchdowns. He had threw the ball over 50 times. So you take the bad, you offset it a little bit with the good, and you figure better days are ahead, because this Steelers defense is straight up nasty. Nasty from the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Elite usage, by the way, for Joe Mixon. Elite. 9 targets.
Yeah.
34 total touches. 145 total yards, 21.5 fantasy points. Not super efficient on the ground, because the Bengals' new offensive line looks like the Bengals' old offensive line, but good to see Joe Mixon get that massive, massive volume.
I thought they spent a bunch of money on their offensive line this offseason.
It doesn't work so far, Daniel.
But
sometimes
yet.
You spend money, then you regret it pretty much right away.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, let's talk about the Bears and the 49ers, and this one I want to be sort of brief with, outside of the injuries that we have. Elijah Mitchell was looking really nice. Unfortunately, wound up with a knee injury, had to leave the game. We'll have to wait and see a little bit more on that.
Yeah. Not good, though, right? I mean, the 49ers, who just feel snake-bitten with injuries, could be without Elijah Mitchell. We'll see. It's a knee injury, as you said. And the reason why this game is sort of worth tossing out is because it was a pool out there.
Oh, it was awful.
Absurd. It was completely crazy. So, but the two injuries, as you mentioned, Elijah Mitchell leaves the game. Jeff Wilson Jr. stepped in and started to play more for the San Francisco 49ers. Played in 6 games last year, and in 5 of those 6, he had at least 10 carries. So you kind of know what he is. I think he'll end up being a top waiver wire ad this week. Useful player, much like Elijah Mitchell. Minimal passing game impact. He had just 7 targets in those 6 games last year, but it's a good running offense. It's an offense that usually leans on one back, so there's some value there for Elijah Mitchell. But Daniel, what happened with all those Bears pass catchers today?
Oh, you know, again, it was a monsoon out there is what it was. Just there wasn't a way for them to be able to get rolling. Cole Kmet. 0 catches on 1 target.
Eesh.
Darnell Mooney, 1 catch, 3 targets for 8 yards. Better days are ahead. Yeah. Like I said, it was really tough to be able to throw the football. I'm throwing this whole game out and looking forward to whatever's next for Justin Field and the Bears. And same for Trey Lance. I think way better days are ahead for Trey Lance as well.
No question about that part with Trey Lance, but you kind of got exactly what you sort of expected from Trey Lance. The good part for Trey, 13 rushing attempts. That's a big number for any quarterback, especially a quarterback who's as athletic as he is. He also had... he only completed 13 of 28 passes, right? So we knew that the book on him was not necessarily a refined thrower yet. And again, the conditions were terrible. So 13 of 28 is not the expectation going forward. He's also not as surgical as some of the other quarterbacks in the NFL. Just 10 fantasy points for him today.
Also didn't have George Kittle, who was ruled out prior to this game, something we found out during Fantasy Football Now.
We sure did. And that was a tough one because obviously he got hurt on Monday. So we'll see just how much time George Kittle potentially could miss.
Yep.
Huge gutty win for the Bears. Mike Clay didn't like my call about them, given the 49ers what they can handle. That was about the only call I had right this week.
Another gutty win. I think this was a big one. Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, man.
Barely pulled one out over the Detroit Lions today. And I'll tell you what, Jalen Hurts is unbelievable, Field.
Well, here's the good news for Jalen Hurts is that even on a day where he had 0 passing touchdowns, he had 24.7 fantasy points. How about this? He had 17 carries. The most he's ever had in a game prior to this is 18. He had 90 rushing yards. He's only had more rushing yards in a game once. So you saw what elite rushing upside looks like for a quarterback. Jalen Hurts encapsulates it. He also had a rushing touchdown. Mike Clay, bravo, quarterback one on the board for him. Wasn't quarterback one in terms of points, but he was very confident in Jalen Hurts for a reason.
Well, and he was absolutely aided by the addition of A.J. Brown, 10 for 155. A.J. Brown looked like a beast out there. We've been saying all offseason, just give him the ball. Yeah. Touches, that's what it's all about. And week one, we love to see that. As a part of that, though, Field, with A.J. Brown getting the touches, Devonta Smith, a big goose egg.
Yeah, we couldn't even flush him because he literally had zero catches.
Exactly.
By the way, just one note on A.J. Brown. He had 13 catches, 10 targets. I'm sorry, 10 catches on 13 targets for A.J. Brown. No Eagles receiver even had 10 targets in a game last year.
Wow.
A.J. Brown had 10 catches in his first game with the Philadelphia Eagles. I kind of like the idea, like when you trade for a guy, you force feed him the football. Yes. I don't know that we can count on 13 targets every single week from A.J. Brown, but if he pushes for double-digit targets, the ceiling is not like wide receiver 10. The ceiling is wide receiver 5.
Yep, agreed.
Right? I mean, I don't know. The touchdown upside is there with the likes of Cooper Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase and obviously Justin Jefferson as well. But this was a great start for A.J. Brown. This is exactly what I was hoping that Philadelphia would do, and we got it in week one.
If you were a Miles Sanders manager, this is not what you wanted, though, because what you
yes
saw is...
Yes and no.
You don't think so?
Yes and no. So, I know where I'm going with this. Right? Is that like, okay, so we saw Kenneth Gainwell, he had 5. We saw Boston Scott, he had 4 carries.
You saw Jalen Hurts have his own.
4 different guys scored a rushing touchdown today. Kenneth Gainwell, Boston Scott, Jalen Hurts, and also Miles Sanders. The good news is, at least he scored a touchdown.
Yep.
Right? He did score a touchdown. He had 96 rushing yards. So, I guess the reason why I'm not totally concerned is because I kind of feel like this is like about where Miles Sanders was being valued coming into the year, right? Like a borderline RB2, needs a couple of things to break right, got enough passing game usage to kind of sweeten the pot here today. I was like okay with this, all things considered, for Miles Sanders.
So this is why I think this is a tough matchup for me to be able to break down, because is this the Eagles just saying this is the way that we're going to look at goal line usage and it's going to become a committee type of a backfield?
Sure.
Or is this... we were pretty handily beating this team and we wanted to let everybody sort of get some touches and be involved from that standpoint.
I think there's going to be enough, like Kenneth Gainwell is certainly going to have a role, and there's going to be a role, I think, for Boston Scott as well, who's like the only like 5'8 running back or 5'10 running back who consistently gets goal line work too. I don't know how that happens, but he's pretty good at it. So I'm not going to debate it. So you're right. There's going to be some annoying usage of the other running backs from Miles Sanders managers. But I will, as somebody that ended up with him on a couple of rosters, I'm like, you know what? I'm okay with it. Like, I'm cool with Miles Sanders having a, like, that's a solid start, right? Like,
yes.
there's still a ceiling because of the other running backs on the roster that are getting time and the goal line opportunities. But at least we got closer to where he belonged, which is like a low-end RB2 tag.
Absolutely. And I think we got closer to where DeAndre Swift belongs, which is in that superstar category of running backs. 18 touches, 175 total yards, 1 touchdown, 26.5 fantasy points. He was unbelievable today.
It's awesome.
Broke a couple of huge runs. The only thing that I did not love is he did not get the goal line usage. That was Jamal Williams.
I have to go back and watch this once more. Obviously, doing this when the game is just
a few
hours
old. You and me both, buddy.
Old.
You want to do that together? I'll watch it with you.
We'll go back and watch. But here's the good news. Beyond the fact that he still rushed for a ton of yards today, did DeAndre Swift. He was RB3 on the day. Eye test. Looked like one of the best running backs in the league today. He was just awesome. Before contact, after contact, you name it, he was really good. Some teams, as we know, like when a running back is in, they just let that running back have that series. I saw that with the Chiefs today. And there are other teams where, like, if they get close, even if the backup's in, like, we bring a starter back in because Derrick Henry is better at goal line carries than other backs are, obviously, right? I'd have to go back and see if Jamal Williams got those opportunities inside the 5-yard line and scored 2 touchdowns because it was his turn. Those are his drives. Or if it was because they got in close and they were like, all right, Jamal, you're in. DeAndre, you're out.
Great question.
Worth noting, last year, same thing happened. Jamal Williams had a big week one.
Yes, he did.
And then DeAndre Swift just emerged from there. So I'm not super concerned about the Jamal Williams usage. One thing that also caught my eye in this game, Daniel, Amon-Ra St. Brown kept feasting.
Yes, he did.
Now, I jinxed you, Amon-Ra, and I'm very, very sorry about that. I did not mean to jinx you to the effect of 2 drops today because you had 0 last year, and I tweeted about it this offseason. But I was encouraged by the fact that he got a ton of targets today.
12 targets.
12 targets for Amon-Ra St. Brown, 8 catches, 64 yards, touchdown as well. Really talented guy.
Week one, at least, when you look at, are they going to have the same kind of volume that he had towards the end of last year? We all said, obviously, he's not going to have that kind of volume.
Right.
Well, week one, he had that kind of volume.
Yeah.
We'll see how many of these shootouts the Lions are in where they have to throw this much.
Though.
But there's a good chance there's going to have to be a handful.
Your defense. Not the 85 Bears.
It is not. Although I do love a couple of people in the defense, but as far as the actual execution of the defense, leaves a little bit to be desired.
Yes, it does.
All right, let's talk about Patriots and Dolphins field. Let's talk about, I want to start with the Patriots here.
Yeah. Well, this is easy.
Yes, it's the backfield and that's it.
Yeah, again, the backfield, who even knows right now?
I don't
right?
know. That's ugly. The only conversation.
Certainly an ugly performance from the Patriots in a lot of ways today. Damian Harris has 21 snaps to Ramondre Stevenson's 14. And the problem is that, like, if the offense is going to be inefficient and low scoring, and we're just 1 week in, so it's hard to tell if it will be, but if it's going to be low scoring, you kind of need to have one guy.
Yes.
Patriots are going to have multiple guys. And by the way, their one touchdown today scored by Ty Montgomery.
Yeah.
So Ty Montgomery gets the touchdown. He's the third back out of three. And as we keep saying with the Patriots, like, they have some solid pass catchers, no stars. So my big takeaway for the Patriots is that, like, I think the backfield will be better going forward than it was today, but the fact that it's close to an even split is going to hurt the value. But Jacoby Myers, if you're playing in the deeper leagues, kind of nice, right?
Yeah.
Jacoby Myers continues to be the most reliable Patriots pass catcher, but still, like, that's like, it's slim pickings right now for the Pats.
It really is. Pretty much across the board from that standpoint. I'm waiting one more week until I start to panic on the Patriots running backs. I want to see the way that things flush out.
Yeah, I think so.
Here.
Tough matchup in week 2 against the Steelers, if I'm not mistaken. So it might be
a couple of weeks.
Go next week as well. But we'll see. Yeah. I mean, they need to figure something out because they were not great on offense today.
How about on the other side of the ball? Chase Edmonds, first time out there for the Dolphins. Outsnapped Raheem Mostert 38-24. We talked about him being the guy off the bench first. I thought he looked okay. He wasn't fantastic, but in an offense where, you know, he's going to be the pass catcher, and you saw that, and that's, I think, where a lot of his value is going to come in.
Yeah, behind a revamp, but still not great offensive
not
line.
They did not
run for many yards per carry, 23 carries for 65 yards for the Dolphins. Say the weird part about this game is that other than one, I think the Dolphins had one play, like one touchdown. Yeah, they had only one touchdown. It was a 4th-and-7 play at the end of the half. Otherwise, the Dolphins' offense, like, wasn't great. They just got a lot out of a certain player I'll talk about in just a second, in Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. So I thought Chase Edmonds, like, did pretty much Chase Edmonds things, right? He had 4 catches for 40 yards. I got him the 8 points, and then he had another 23 yards, I believe, rushing for him.
Yep.
25 yards rushing on 12 attempts. Like, not a very powerful back. If there's not space for Chase Edmonds, he's not going to be eating up yards like he's Derrick Henry there. And then Raheem Mostert, just a backup, right? Like, a backup to Chase Edmonds, and no passing game volume yet today, Sunday. So we'll see if that changes. I don't expect it will.
I think we talked about how this group of pass catchers with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle is like 1A and 1A.
Right.
But today, what we saw is Tyreek Hill looks like the clear number one based on targets, and Jaylen Waddle is the clear number two wide receiver.
Yeah, so 12 targets for Tyreek Hill, 5 for Jaylen Waddle, and 8 catches, 94 yards for Tyreek Hill. Like, I don't know that I saw every single play of this game as it happened live. I don't recall a deep shot down the field today for Tyreek Hill, and obviously he had just 94 yards and 8 catches, so there
Doesn't
weren't many big
seem
plays,
like it,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that, though, right? Like, I don't care about how as long as he's getting targets, like, Tyreek Hill's going to do some good things with the ball in his hands.
The only big catch that I really remember in this game is the fake punt that went to Jaylen Waddle.
It wasn't a fake punt. It just, like, we thought they were going to punt because it was 4th-and-7. It was one of those plays that they came back from a break.
Oh,
and
that's
like,
what it was.
Wait, the Dolphins are not punting it right now?
This is what happens when you watch all of the games on a big screen at the same time.
Yeah, there's 17 TVs in that room. It's not easy to keep up with. But I would say that I was obviously encouraged by Tyreek Hill. You know, there was a lot of opportunity there today. Jaylen Waddle, solid. 5 targets is solid. He made the most of those 5 targets, but we'll see whether that number increases in future weeks. Mike Gesicki, 1 catch, 1 target, barely played today. Bye-bye.
Yep, I'm good.
Someone had to be the odd man out. And it looked like, at least for one day, it was Mike Gesicki. And I got a sense that that could be the case. There was a lot of reports throughout the summer that Mike Gesicki was being relegated to more of a blocking role. Dalton Smythe had more targets than Mike Gesicki today.
Dylan Smythe?
Yeah, it's Dalton, pretty sure, right?
Is it? I don't know.
Okay.
Durham Smythe. There we go.
Out there, Durham's like, guys, come on, man. I had my one shining moment. Way to screw it up. Oh, man. Anyways.
It's been a long day, Phil. We've been here a long time.
All right. I've been here a long time.
We got to pay some bills real quick before we come back and keep ripping through these games, Phil. So why don't you talk to us about Geico?
I sure will, Daniel. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
Freaking love it.
Of course you would, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your cars. For your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, get an add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Hiring is challenging, especially right now when you have so much on your plate. But luckily, there's one place where you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter does the work for you. ZipRecruiter uses its powerful matching technology to find and match the right candidates up with your job. And ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site based on G2 satisfaction ratings as of January 1st, 2022. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, let's come back out and talk about the number 2 overall pick. Christian McCaffrey field, which was a little bit disappointing here in this Brown Panthers game.
Yeah, it is a little bit disappointing here, Daniel. And I don't think, obviously, it's his fault, right?
No.
But what was interesting for Christian McCaffrey, who salvaged the day with a touchdown. So he got you 15.7 fantasy points. And at last check, second most snaps amongst running backs in terms of percentage, 51.6 for Christian McCaffrey, 81.6 for Christian McCaffrey. That's a good number. The weird part was 10 total carries. And 4 targets for CMC.
4 targets.
This offense looked bad. And it's early. I'm not trying to sit here and tell you that, you know, Baker Mayfield is doomed and they have no chance. But the offense looked bad today.
And so, Baker Mayfield is doomed and they have no chance. I'll say it if you don't want to.
No, but I would, like, hang tight here with CMC. Like, there's no way that this offense can function without him being more involved in the passing game going forward.
100% agree. There's not a chance that they don't fix that going forward. However, I do think that there is a good chance that this offense with Baker is going to struggle under center, because it wasn't just CMC that was affected. I love Robbie Anderson, and we talked about him as like a later round dart throw.
Yeah.
But DJ Moore was just like, it was very frustrating as somebody that rostered DJ Moore and was really looking forward to watching him take those next steps this year.
Yeah.
Be the guy that felt like he was forgotten in this
game.
So
I'll play a little bit of like glass half full here. 6 targets. So like, listen, not elite, but still like, you know, 6 targets, you multiply that over 17 games, you're over 100 for the season. You'd like that number to be closer to 130 or 140 for DJ Moore because he's so talented. But, you know, I don't think there's certainly a window for him to have 8 or 10 targets these upcoming weeks. So not entirely panicked on DJ Moore yet. And I'll just keep reminding people that Robbie Anderson last year had like this historically bad season in terms of efficiency. But he was still 28th in targets last year. So the Panthers want to involve Robbie Anderson, which is why I'm not passing week one off. It's just like, okay, this is irrelevant. It's relevant. It's still DJ Moore first up in this passing game. But let's earmark Robbie Anderson for a player to potentially hit waivers, if not this week, in future weeks, if the volume keeps up.
On the other side of the ball, you got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt from the Browns, and that's basically the Browns' offense, it feels
It is the Browns' offense, almost entirely.
Yeah,
Nick Chubb had 23 touches for 143 yards. No surprise, 22 of those were rushing attempts.
Yeah.
Right? But, man, is it sweet to watch Nick Chubb run the ball. He's so good.
One of the best runners in football. I did an interview with Stefania and Jonathan Taylor earlier this year, and he talked about how Nick Chubb was probably his most favorite just pure runner to watch in the NFL.
Pure as all get out. So the Browns' first 4 games, you look at the schedule closely. God, I knew this at one point. Now I forget it. But they don't play the high-impact offense, I think, until week 5, which is when they play the Chargers. Before that, the schedule includes the Jets. It also includes the Steelers. And it includes the Falcons. So the next 3 weeks here, like, you could get pretty, like, consistent Nick Chubb being able to tote the rock 20 plus times in a game.
Yeah, getting this kind of game script.
Yeah, and Kareem Hunt, like we got a pretty Kareem Huntish performance, 11 carries, four catches as well. He happened to find the end zone twice. So can't count on that, obviously. But this is why if you go either hero running back or zero RB strategy, this is why Kareem Hunt presents a reasonable option because you can have him as your RB1 or your RB2 and get by with weeks. I mean, more than get by with a week like today, but get by because he's going to have, as we've said, like if you just look at the games he and Nick Chubb have played together, he's better than a 50-50 shot to be a top 25 running back.
Yeah. All right, on the other side, let's move ahead to the Colts and the Texans. Oh, is there anyone else you want to talk about?
Clean up on the Browns? As you said earlier, we flushed Amari Cooper three catches, but things that make you go, Donovan Peoples-Jones had over 10 targets today, six catches, 60 yards. Guy was generating buzz last preseason. A tweet of mine from like August of 2021 recently popped back up on my feed, and it reminded me that we were sort of like, oh, this guy's kind of interesting. We're now for 2022. We're here and I'm not putting major stock into, not investing a ton into this right now, but flyer. I got you stored away on my cranium right here, Donovan Peoples-Jones.
All right, Field. Listen, anytime you got a flyer, I'll listen to it. Colts, Texans. Boy, I'll tell you what, the Colts were frustrating to watch early. Oh my gosh. And then they were frustrating up until the end of the game where we finished in a tie.
Tie
it was
stink.
Just sort of frustrating all the way across the board. Michael Pittman did Michael Pittman things.
I was going to say that the good news for the Colts is that they were so chalky for fantasy,
their
right?
Two guys did the things that you want. Thing. Michael Pittman, 13 targets for 9 catches, 121 yards and a touchdown. And Jonathan Taylor, 35 touches, 175 yards, a touchdown, 4 catches for 27.5 fantasy points.
Yeah, it seems good.
I mean, what are you going to do?
You count that on two Colts coming into the season, and they more than delivered in week one. You love to see it.
That's it. This
is good. For us, in our world, we don't care about the tie. We care about whether the guys that we rank perform, and they performed.
Oof. One more thing, though, and it hurt. Alec Pierce.
I know. Dropped touchdown.
Dropped a touchdown in the end zone.
Wide open.
It was tough.
I hope that I don't think it would have changed the narrative too much because it wasn't like he was super busy today, but it's one of those catches that you're just like, oh my God. Like
when you think back on
it. As a rookie, like you don't, in your first ever NFL game.
Yeah,
like
that ends in a tie.
Yeah, I know. Don't remind him. Kickers, man. You went through the Texans though, but just here's the learning lesson on the Texans running backs. It's just like, Damien Pierce is going to have a role, no doubt, right? Preseason is a very tricky exercise for all of us because you want to balance what you're seeing and what you believe to be real with the truth that the preseason is called the preseason for a reason. We don't see starters for a lot of teams out there. We see guys that look great that end up sort of falling off the face of the earth within a month of the regular season. Damien Pierce is not left for dead yet, but every important metric showed that Rex Burkhead got the more valuable touches. And by the way, this was the game script you wanted if he had Damien Pierce. Mm-hmm. They were up 20-3 in this game.
Yep.
So if Rex Burkhead's getting the work when they're up by 17, it signals to me that next week, regardless of who they're playing, and I don't know right now, that it could be more of Rex Burkhead next week.
Yeah, it sort of feels that way, which is kind of frustrating, especially if you used, as we got closer to draft time, I mean, Damien Pierce was being drafted as some people's RB2s.
Yeah. I mean, we got a little bit over our skis. They play the Broncos next week, by the way.
Thanks. Here's a quick question. OJ Howard played a lot in the... Okay. All right. Two touchdowns. No, thank you, OJ Howard.
No, one touchdown.
OJ Howard had two touchdowns.
He had two today? He found it twice? Okay. Wasn't it two catches for two touchdowns then? I'm sorry. Yeah. This is a nothing for me. Sorry. That's how much I'm not interested in it right
Honestly,
now.
Honestly, it was mostly frustrating because I was like, where's Brevin Jordan been? I love Brevin Jordan. I've been waiting for him at tight end. I don't want OJ Howard.
Two catches, 38 yards, two touchdowns. At least it's efficient. I hope he had an incentive in his contract that says if you score two touchdowns in week one, you get $1 million.
How great would that be?
Awesome.
All right, Saints and Falcons. We already touched on Alvin Kamara and the disappointment, but we will touch on the leading scorer here, Taysom Hill.
How about that?
How about this guy?
Sean Payton is still a part of this franchise somehow.
The leading rusher for this team. 5 touches, 83 yards, a touchdown, caught his only target Field. Is there any way, shape, or form that you would buy Taysom Hill at tight end this season? Are you going to look for him on the waiver wire this year?
You know what? I am going to keep my eyes on this one only because it was such creative usage for him, and he is a tight end now, right? And tight ends are hard to find. So I'll keep my eyes on this one. And he did have a long run, a 57-yard run, but still, 5 total touches. if four of those are carries, you're kind of counting either a big run or a touchdown. So only one catch for Taysom Hill today.
I'll tell you what Taysom Hill is for me. Taysom Hill is the guy that when you wait a little bit too long later on in the year,
okay,
and you have your tight end end up going out and you need somebody that you're going to fill in. Like, yeah. I'm never going to have Taysom Hill on a week-to-week basis. You just hope on the week that you throw that dart right. that he has a game like this.
That will be awesome.
That's yeah. the way that I look at it as far as Taysom Hill. Not someone I'm really looking at. Jarvis Landry and Michael Thomas, both. 9 targets for Jarvis Landry, 7 catches for 114, 18.4 fantasy points. Michael Thomas, in his debut game back, 8 targets, 5 catches for 57 yards, gets in the end zone twice, 22.7 fantasy points. Love seeing Michael Thomas get out there. He looked feisty, too.
Yeah, you know, I'm happy for Michael Thomas today. I'm really happy for him because not only is he on the field, right, but he performed well, and it was a very slow start for Michael Thomas. If you checked your box score at halftime, you were like, wait, is Michael Thomas on the bye? Do they play in the 4 p.m. slate? What's going on here? Because I think he had 0 catches into the second half. So all this came in at least the second quarter of the game, maybe the second half entirely for Michael Thomas, but good to see. And here's where Michael Thomas, I think, is going to be able to be most effective this year is it doesn't look like the volume is going to be where it was in the past, right? He had 5 targets. I'm sorry, 7, 8 targets. Make it 8 for Michael Thomas. Back in the day, he was routinely getting like 14 or 16 or yep. at least 10 in a game pretty often, right? But the red zone proficiency is something that he can help. He's a big body still, that much is for sure, and we know that Jameis is going to be unafraid. So I was happy for Michael Thomas. If you drafted him, you probably had him as like a wide receiver 3, and he paid off for one day.
Heck yeah, he did.
Jarvis Landry doesn't, I mean, that's it's not for nothing. You know, the volume was good. I still want to monitor this one, but people that drafted him as like wide receiver 42 or 45, nice player to have on the bench right now.
Yes.
Nice player.
Agreed. On the other side, you got Kyle Pitts, who we talked about earlier, a little disappointing, and Drake London. Drake London looked okay.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
7 targets, 5 catches for 74 yards in his debut, 12.5 fantasy points.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do?
I'm happy with 5 catches a game for Drake London. I'm happy with 7 targets a game. I'm happy with nearly 75 yards a game. The touchdowns are going to come on occasion for Drake London. You do the math over the course of a season, that 85 catches, over 1,000 receiving yards, can't ask for much more. That's solid usage in week one for a guy that had never played an NFL game before, missed a bunch of time during the preseason.
Yeah, Cordero Patterson also got solid usage here in week one, 25 touches, in part because no Tyler Algier.
Yep.
Damian Healthy Williams scratch. Got hurt early.
Yes.
And so they were sort of left a little bit thin at running back from that perspective. So
yeah, really thin.
25 touches for Cordero Patterson this week, 136 yards, a touchdown, caught 3 of his 5 targets, 22.6 fantasy points, and he just had a lot of usage here, Field, and he made the most of it in week one.
Yeah, I like to use the term, like, was it by necessity or design? And for some of these running backs, when a guy gets hurt, it becomes by necessity. And that was kind of what happened with Patterson today. I don't think he's going to get 22 carries often, but he got 22 carries today. And you and I had a funny conversation about a month ago. We were like, Kareem Hunt or Cordero Patterson? And then we looked at it by the end of the day today, and they were like two of the highest, like 7 scoring running backs. So the answer is nobody, either both of us yeah. won or neither
Congrats
of us won,
us.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
But, you know, sort of our take on, or at least, you know, how I felt on Patterson was solid passing game usage. As mm-hmm. you mentioned, he had 5 targets today. And then still a good runner. He's good with the football in his hands. He may eventually break down, but I think CPAT might have been a little bit undervalued coming into the season. And if Damian Williams is not available next week, CPAT will be back inside our top 20 or 25 for running backs.
Absolutely. All right, Ravens, Jets. We were looking for Lamar to be able to take, at least I was, looking for Lamar to take apart this Jets team. And I'll tell you what, eventually it sort of happened. It just took a little longer to get there than what I was planning on. 17 for 30 for Lamar, 213 passing yards with 3 touchdowns and an interception. And here's the thing. 2 touchdowns went to Devin Duvernay, Field. Yeah. We've been talking about Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman all offseason long, and he throws 2 touchdowns at Devin Duvernay. So does this change anything? And by change anything, do you perk your ears up? Are you keeping an eye out on something?
A little bit. I mean, Lamar only had 17 completions today, right? So Devin Duvernay had nearly a quarter of his completions. 2 of his 4 catches go for a touchdown.
Yep.
54 yards. So I'm happy for Devin Duvernay, a guy who was a good college player, a guy who's been a good, you know, return man for the Ravens. Not quite ready to buy into this one yet.
I think
right?
I'm with you.
Like, you know, it's 4 catches on 4 targets. Like, if the number was 8 targets, I'd have a different feeling on it. But still only 4 targets. It has caught my attention. And to be honest with you, if his teammate Rashad Bateman had not caught that long touchdown, the conversation might be a little bit different. By the way, for Bateman, I'm happy. 55-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. but only two catches.
Yeah, that was
great. I kind of wanted more volume. This Ravens offense did not click much today, and perhaps because the running backs weren't there.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it. Obviously, J.K. Dobbins ruled out earlier today, so we talked about it's going to be the Mike Davis or Kenyon Drake show, actually, today during Fantasy Football Now. Both you and...
My IFB is not working well. I can't hear you right now.
Sorry, one of those two.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
We don't
on
really
right
want
now.
To talk about either one of those running backs. Do you want to just skip the whole thing altogether?
No, but I think it's a good reminder that until J.K. Dobbins returns, I'm probably avoiding them if I can.
As much as you can.
31 snaps for Kenyon Drake, just 6 for Mike Davis. So Shefty just stomped me today in this board bet for long shots. 3.1 fantasy points to 1.1 fantasy points for Mike Davis. That's disgusting. Does Shefty get a medal for that or no?
I don't think he deserves a medal for that. No, I don't think that counts. No, definitely not. Let's talk about the Jets backfield though.
This was interesting. Yeah.
Because the Jets backfield actually was really good in comparison to the Ravens backfield because they caught a ton of passes. In part,
yeah,
they threw a bunch. Joe Flacco threw the ball 59 times.
He threw it 59 times.
So everybody was involved. But
yeah,
it seemed like it was the Michael Carter show to start the game with.
And that was the buzz, right? I mean, yeah. Mike LaFleur, their OC, said, hey, he's the heartbeat of our offense. And Rich Cimini's been tweeting and talking about this in his Jets coverage for us here at ESPN. And it sort of bared out that way. 47 total snaps for Michael Carter, 36 for Breece Hall, 17 touches for Michael Carter, 12 for Breece Hall. The thing that sort of salvaged Breece Hall's day is he had 6 catches. Michael Carter had 7 catches, but it was... This is in line with what we had been talking about in recent weeks. Eventually, Breece Hall is going to get his.
Yep.
But for now, it's Michael Carter. And earlier today, as we were discussing this with Diana Rossini on Fantasy Football Now, like there was enough momentum to suggest that Michael Carter would get the rock early. And I don't know what his roster percentage is, but it probably needs to be higher. And I think for a couple more weeks... I think he will be usable in fantasy, maybe longer than that.
Yeah.
Because the Jets were frisky for a portion of this game on defense, but offensively couldn't get really much going on the ground at all. 59 passing attempts. It won't be that robust every single week, but it's going to be big. And I think that both Carter and Hall have some receiving upside.
Yeah, absolutely. With what it is that we saw from this week, I'm excited to see what happens going forward, but to that point, Field, you look at these wide receivers and their target numbers are just huge. Elijah Moore had 7 targets. Garrett Wilson had 8 targets. Corey Davis had 9 targets. Obviously, they're not going to be throwing the ball 60 times a game. So that's a part of that, right? Pretty low, inefficient offense from that standpoint. It's kind of tough to be able to look at starting any one of these wide receivers. I think the running backs really are the only ones that I'm looking at probably from a flex perspective.
Yeah, I still think Elijah Moore only because he had the buzziest training camp and we've seen it a little bit more. If I had to pick one Jets wide receiver, but not like any of them totally balled out with these opportunities. 7 Almost. Targets each for each of them. 7 targets each, at least. I
at
should
least
say. 7 targets at least for each of them.
Yes.
And Corey Davis had the most yards with just 77 today.
Yep.
Bad drop today for Corey Davis as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that wasn't great. All right, Jaguars and Commanders. Carson Wentz, who knew he was going to be one of the best quarterbacks of the fantasy slate to start?
Of course, we all had that, right?
Yeah, well, I was pretty sure that at least one fantasy analyst had that. Antonio Gibson comes in with 20 fantasy points to start this game, and I think he has a little something to say about where he was being drafted, how people were valuing him. And I'll tell you what, this might just be week one, but he took the role that he was given in week one and he made something about it.
No question about that, Daniel. I have to give my credit here to Antonio Gibson because he was a fear player for me and I think a lot of people in the preseason.
100%.
Now, it's worth noting that we have no idea what this role looks like today if his teammate Brian Robinson had not been shot, right? And we don't want to make light of that or even...
Not
like,
at all.
You can't predict that at all, right? Like, obviously, you know? So there's... Like, I don't know what Antonio Gibson's role looked like 3 weeks ago when the Commanders were sort of figuring out what their week one offensive snap division would have looked like, right?
Yeah.
But Antonio Gibson got an opportunity and he made the most of it. Not only did he have 14 rushes, he had 7 catches today, really involved in the passing game. The player that wanted to see last year showed up today. So a really solid start here today for Antonio Gibson. And the wide receivers had some intrigue as well, Daniel.
Yeah, and the guys that we thought were going to be leading this wide receiving room and Terry McLaurin actually was last in this year. So Curtis Samuel, 4 carries for 17 yards, 8 catches on 11 targets for 55 yards and a touchdown with a fumble. 19.2 fantasy points led the Washington Commanders wide receivers. Number 2, Jahan Dotson, 3 catches on 5 targets for 40 yards. 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, that was cool. Huh?
18 fantasy points. And then Terry McLaurin. And this one bummed me out. 2 catches, 58 yards, touchdown, Only four targets.
I'm surprised by this. So here's the good news again. First of all, these guys are all really talented. Second of all, I believe they all played at least 80% of the snaps.
Which is a lot.
A lot of three receiver sets for the Commanders on the field. That's good news right there. So I think the most notable thing here is actually Curtis Samuel, because he was a forgotten man, right? I mean, this is a guy who signed a three-year, $37.5 million deal last offseason, and then injuries really limited him. He had a total of six catches last year. He had five today, right? I mean, he was a total disaster last season because of his health, and he was very much back in the mix today. Eight catches. I said five a minute ago. I meant eight catches. He had four carries as well. So a guy that when he got signed in free agency, we're all stoked about. The light might have been switched back on here for our friend Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, we're just looking for health. As long as he can stay healthy, I'd love to see what this can turn into for over the course of a number of games. On the other side, boy, we were talking about Travis Etienne all offseason. And you know what James Robinson was doing?
Yeah.
He was just sitting
recovering
back
and getting better.
Yeah. And then he comes out week one here, 12 touches, 69 yards, two touchdowns.
Pretty good.
Looked really good. James Robinson looked really good. On the other side of the ball, it doesn't help that Travis Etienne dropped what would have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
Had a couple of difficulties here. But this running back, this room looks like a committee now more than I think we thought about it.
Yeah, it was a split. And just shout out to James Robinson. 31 snaps for him, 31 snaps for Travis Etienne. And James Robinson did not look like the kind of guy who came off of an Achilles tear.
Nope.
Cam Akers, we talked about that. He did. When he played last postseason and then also week one, right? James Robinson did not. So shout out to James Robinson. That was a really gutty effort from him today. Found the end zone twice. That's good right there. I wanted to see more passing game usage from Travis Etienne. Just four targets for him. Not totally out on Etienne yet, but certainly wanted to see more in week one. Not out at all on Etienne, but no. I was surprised it was a 50-50 split. I'll be honest with you.
Me too. Me too. I'm interested to see the way that they're going to continue to use James Robinson going forward because he looked healthy right out the gate. Christian Kirk, another guy, $72 million man, 12 targets, matched a career high with 12 targets, six catches for 117 yards.
Balled out.
If he's going to do that on a weekly basis and they paid him to be that guy on a weekly basis, I'm going to
take your volume.
I'm going to keep starting him.
Mike Clay, hat tip to you, buddy. You're all in on that one for Christian Kirk. Great call by Mike, as usual.
All right, we're going to come back and talk about the 4 p.m. slate in just 1 second. But first, a word from our friends over at DraftKings. Football fans, the first Sunday of the NFL season was here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season right now. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And as an added bonus, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. It's simple. Bet on an NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FFF to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place your $5 bet this Sunday. That's code FFF only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Bonus issued as a free bet. One early win token issued at opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
This season, you know your favorite players are hydrating with Body Armor Sports Drink on and off the field. Your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash-talking points you need. Whatever your workout routine, you're going to need to stay hydrated, and Body Armor has you covered. Made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, no artificial sweeteners, flavors or dyes, and coconut water, Body Armor is a great option whether you're playing ball with friends, hauling coolers to a tailgate, or rooting for your team. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is an important part of that. Body Armor Sports Drink, more than a sports drink. Now through November 1st, buy any one Body Armor product at your local convenience store and scan the QR code in-store to enter be one of the hundreds of winners to receive $100 to DraftKings prizing. No purchase necessary, void or prohibited, open to residents of U.S. 21 and older.
All right, let's talk Packers and Vikings.
4 p.m. slate. Let's do it, Daniel.
Oh, my gosh. So I was looking to see what Aaron Rodgers was going to look like. And you know what Aaron Rodgers looked like?
What did he look like?
Not great.
Yeah, he looked like Roger Aaron or something. Yes, he looked terrible out there.
195 passing yards, an interception, and a fumble. Not a lot to get from a receiving perspective, as wide receivers did not really do a whole lot this game. The two the two people that really did anything was Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Aaron Jones, 8 touches for 76 yards, caught 3 of 5 targets for 10.6 fantasy points. But the star of the day, A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, he was awesome.
15 touches, 91 yards, a touchdown, caught 5 of 6 targets, more catches and targets than Aaron Jones for 21.4 fantasy points. A.J. Dillon absolutely rocked it. Going into week 2, this is something that I think we're going to have to talk about, the way that we look at this usage in this backfield, because now it makes me wonder, why on earth were we letting A.J. Dillon being drafted in the 12th round? Yeah,
that part never made sense to us, right? There was just way too much value here in A.J. Dillon, even in a Packers offense that played like poop today. But we'll see what Aaron Jones did play more snaps than A.J. Dillon, so he'll continue to get his. But I think at some point we'll either have a conversation about whether these guys need to be ranked closer to each other or whether they both need to be considered top 20-ish plays at running back because of the potential for passing game upside. All the Packers wide receivers stunk today.
Yep.
You probably have already heard the stat by now, but one more time for housekeeping. The Packers wide receivers combined today for fewer receiving yards than Devontae Adams in his Las Vegas Raiders debut. No one looked good. I am going to withhold proclaiming any Packers wide receiver a must-start until we see much more.
You know who is a must-start?
Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I talked about him earlier. He rules. The Vikings are kind of chalky, right? Dalvin Cook. Solid, not spectacular, but solid.
Yep.
Justin Jefferson, amazing. Kirk Cousins looks sharp. Adam Thielen had 3 catches on 36 yards. This team kind of like gives you the good vibes. Like you kind of know what you're going to get. And if you played Justin Jefferson today, congrats on your win. That was awesome.
Yeah. A little disappointed. Want to see more out of Irv Smith, though. It's the only thing. First game, but you know, got to take an easy back and whatnot.
I'm with you.
Yep. All right. Giants and Titans field. Wan'Dale Robinson did not play in the second half of this game.
They got hurt with a knee injury. So what a great win for the Giants. And I talked about it earlier, but Saquon Barkley, man, you ruled. You were so, so good. You are the only player in
the Giants.
He was the Giants. Yes. He was gigantic, if you will, for the Giants today. He was so good. But Wan'Dale Robinson, their second round pick in an already thin receiving core, left the game. Kadarius Toney was like in and out today of the lineup. Not quite sure what's going on there, but hard to trust him at this moment. It was the Saquon Barkley show, as it deserved to be, and he was awesome.
Yeah. Anything taken away from the Sterling Shepard touchdown you saw?
No, I was just, again, happy for him because he tore Achilles late last year. Like, good to see him back, and that was a big play for them. A long, long touchdown for Sterling Shepard, so that was cool to see.
I think one of the biggest takeaways from this game is the way that you look at Derrick Henry's usage. Mm. Try to figure out how it is the Titans are going to utilize him this year, and one of the things that seems very obvious, 21 touches, 82 yards, just one target in the passing game. The entire passing game usage went to Dontrell Hilliard. 5 touches for 69 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's taken over that pass catching role field, and it looks like they don't want to use Derrick Henry in the same way that they started to maybe use him last year pre-injury.
Yeah, he had 18 catches before he got hurt in 9 games last year. So it's never been like Derrick Henry with like 4 catches a game.
Correct.
But to have one target only, that was a little bit disconcerting today. He had a dud week one last year as well. So, I'm not ready to sound the alarms too much on Derrick Henry. He still did get over 20 carries. He had 82 rushing yards. Just a reminder that if you have limited passing game value, then, you know, in order to be Derrick Henry with capital Derrick Henry, you have to have either much greater efficiency or better goal line opportunities. And as you said, Hilliard got the touchdowns today for the Titans.
Yeah, that was frustrating.
It was frustrating.
That was frustrating.
But Henry played 70% of the snaps, which isn't a dominant number. It's probably been a little bit higher in, you know, maybe not, though. I think that's okay. Like, it's, you know, you love it for it to be 95, but he's never going to be an every down player because of the fact that his passing game role is just not what other running backs
are. I also wanted to stay healthy for the entire season. And so, if we have to limit him just a little bit in order to make that happen, I'm okay with it.
Gritty win from the Giants.
Absolutely. All right. Raiders versus Chargers. And the thing that I took away from this, it was tough to see Keenan Allen leaving this game with a hamstring. You hate being able to see that. And we'll see you get more from Stefania on him as the week progresses, Field.
Yeah, after the game, we heard from head coach Brandon Staley, who said there is a small possibility he'll play on Thursday. They play the Chiefs in the first Thursday night football game of the Amazon Prime slate schedule. So we'll see whether Keenan's available. Sounds like there's a chance, but it also seems like you should be making other plans here.
Yeah, there were a lot of other wide receivers that we utilized in this offense, too. DeAndre Carter, Mike Williams, Josh Palmer, Gerald Everett. I mean, everybody.
That's the one that catches your attention, right? And as I'm looking it up right now, like, after you would have thought, like, oh, no Keenan Allen. We kept talking about, like, the insurance play is Josh Palmer.
Yep.
How about DeAndre Carter instead? And how about this? DeAndre Carter today filling in is like that next man up. 3 catches, 64 yards, and a touchdown on 4 targets. That was good to see. To be honest, on a day that they played.
No, it wasn't. That was frustrating to see.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, no offense to DeAndre Carter and his family.
It was good to see for his family. The rest of us, it was not good to see. It's a good point. I don't want that. Yeah,
no,
you don't want that.
I want Mike Williams. If Keenan Allen gets hurt, then he's going to Mike Williams.
Yeah, well, Mike Williams, listen. I don't know how many times I have to say it.
I know, Field.
You know what you signed up for when you drafted Mike Williams. That's what I talked about with Mike. I mean, we debated it a million times during the preseason, right? If you want the chance for 200 yards and a touchdown, draft Mike Williams. If you want the chance for two catches for 10 yards, draft Mike Williams as well.
Here's what you can't do. If you drafted Mike Williams where you had to draft him when you drafted him, you can't play this game where you're going to try and pick and choose games either. You're putting him in there every week.
Every week.
And you're rolling with it.
You live with it.
Yep.
He's like the crazy uncle. You live with him, right?
That's how it works.
Two catches for 10 yards for Mike Williams in week one. So that was ugly right there. We'll talk more about DeAndre Carter, maybe Josh Palmer, and then other pass catchers who could benefit if Keenan Allen is unavailable in week two. For the Raiders, Devontae Adams, this just in, still good. And we had questions about like, oh, he goes to Las Vegas. Like his target share has got to go down, right? Nope.
How many do you have?
A million.
17.
17 targets.
17 targets.
We did our fears late. Remember, we did our fantasy fears late in the preseason. And yep. One of my fantasy fears was like, what if Devontae Adams is just that good? And like, we should be ranking him as wide receiver one. Right. Well, like there are other guys that were so great this week and Jamar Chase,
and Mike tweeted this out. Congrats on the entire fantasy community for getting the wide receiver part of the top of the draft, right?
Yeah. Stephon Diggs, Cooper Kupp.
Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, Jamar Chase.
Devontae Adams.
All of them.
They're so good. So I'm with you there. But great to see that he feasted. And then from the backfield, a weird day. They were playing from behind a lot today. So it's not like any major takeaways. Just Josh Jacobs seemed to be a lead back. But Brandon Bolden scored a touchdown because you know why? Of course he did. Josh McDaniels loves Brandon Bolden.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Chiefs and the Cardinals here. Patrick Mahomes, 360 passing yards.
I think he has a future.
5 touchdowns, 34.9 fantasy points.
Yeah, cool. Like that. He seems pretty good.
He does seem pretty good. Have you heard of Travis Kelce, Field?
I have. How do you do?
8 catches on 9 targets for 121 yards and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about, I don't know, did you rest your CEH in any of your leagues?
I did. Remember, I do. I have him in a couple leagues.
Yeah.
And this to me is a storyline here, right? Is those guys being awesome, Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes is great.
But there are
two storylines, right? Is that CEH had 10 touches for 75 yards. He had 3 targets. He had 2 touchdowns, CEH. He got goal line work. Now, also worth noting that we did see a lot of Isaiah Pacheco. We saw some of Jerick McKinnon. So it was a little bit of an RB by committee. But if you drafted CEH, you needed him to get a little bit more passing game utilization and some goal line work. He got both of those in week one.
Yes. And it felt like a lot of there wasn't a rotation early, but as the Chiefs were dominant later on in this game, it felt like they gave those guys more.
Yeah,
I
got that sense too. Like CEH, like, dude, like we're up by 94 points. You're good.
So go ahead and take that. But I am just with you, really interested to be able to see what CEH does with this because he looked really great here in week one.
Did.
Would love to see it continue to blossom.
And Juju looked good too.
I was just going to say clear number two pass catcher here, I think.
For week one, at least. Yeah.
Yes.
Juju looked the best. That was sort of he was the betting favorite, if you will, to be the wide receiver one for the Chiefs. And he looked good in his first opportunity. He did have a fumble.
He did have a fumble, which
he had two. One that fell out of bounds and then one that he ended up losing. But heavy target volume here for Juju. They got everybody involved, though. Mecole Hardman had a day. Marquez Valdes-Scantling got his. We saw Sky Moore a little bit.
Yep.
Jody Fortin had a touchdown.
Didn't he have two? I think he had two touchdowns.
He might have had two. Yeah. Did you start him?
No. If I started him, I have a problem.
Should have.
I should have started Greg Dortch too, by the way. 9 targets, 7 catches for 63 yards Field, what am I going to do here?
Here's what I will say. Dan Graziano came on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning, and he made a comment to the effect of like, yeah, I'm being told there's a guy on the Cardinals named Greg Dortch who's pretty good. Right. It was one of those things. It was like not quite flippant, but it was sort of like, I can't believe I'm talking about Greg Dortch on national TV right now because there's no DeAndre Hopkins and no Rondell Moore. But until Rondell Moore returns, he might have a role. I'm not necessarily validating this and saying you should start him or pick him up or anything. But hey, he was busy today.
He was very busy. Hollywood Brown, only 6 targets, 4 catches for 43 yards, but he did get in the end zone like that. 14
some garbage time.
Points.
I thought it was, to be honest with you, I think it was great. I thought it was fine. But this whole offense was a mess today.
It was a mess.
They looked completely. There were several teams that did not look ready for the season. They were one of them.
Yep. Yep. James Conner, though, I liked what I saw. 15 touches, 55 yards, and he was really active in the passing game. Caught 5 of 6 passes. Again, they were
down, so they had
to throw, but you like being able to see him be a part of that passing game. So 16.5 fantasy points.
We'll take that from you, James Conner. Thank you very much.
That's right. All right. We are now going to do rookie mistakes. These players are brought to you by Snickers. Avoid a rookie mistake and eat a Snickers by not reacting to these week one performances. We're going to welcome in my buddy, Mike Clay. Hey, Mike. How you doing, bud?
I was right about him, clearly. I mean, that's it. I mean, if he wouldn't have stepped on that guy's ankle last year, he would have been great last year and he'd still be great this year. And I'm just saying, like, I'm just going to throw that out there.
I love that you said someone's going to be great, but we didn't have your audio up to start it. Yeah. So we didn't even hear who it was. So no big deal. Who was it? It was a Saquon. You were a year early on Saquon.
Yes. I'm saying I was right about Saquon all along. What we learned today. Oh. That was my main takeaway.
Yes, gotcha.
That's all. I'm done.
That's it.
I'm done, actually. That's all I came
Mike's
to say.
Out.
I'll see you.
Oh, I appreciate
Have
that.
A good show.
Yeah. All right. Talk to me, Mike Clay, about some rookie mistakes. There were a couple of guys that had some huge performances, and I want to start with Devin Duvernay. Two touchdowns, Mike Clay. Are you buying this?
Yeah, absolutely. And he might finish as a top 12, top 15 scorer receiver this week. We're not going to buy into that, okay? Look, he had 54 yards, had the two touchdowns, but he was only targeted four times in this game. And look, he wasn't on the field a lot. He was on the field about half the time. They called 34 passes. He ran 18 routes in the game. So did he solidify himself as their number two receiver? Yes. But DeMarcus Robinson was right behind him. He ran 16 routes, and he just joined the team a few weeks ago. DuVernay might have the occasional long touchdown from Lamar Jackson, but not a guy you're ever going to start, I don't think. So not a guy I'm looking at on waivers this week.
All right, what about a guy like O.J. Howard? For 17.8 fantasy points here in week one, Mike, but when you look at that, it was also basically just because of two touchdowns. So how do you like O.J. Howard?
Yeah. Well, again, a guy I liked when he was coming up and had a good rookie season, was super efficient. You know, why couldn't you do this then, O.J. Howard, when we actually had you in our lineup? No, you wait till now when you played 12 snaps and ran six pass routes and were targeted twice and scored on both of them. So obviously a fluke here. He was ninth among Texans skill position players in snaps in this game, and he was third among tight ends. Farrell Brown was the number one. Brevin Jordan played a big role as well. Those two are basically 1A, 1B, and O.J. Howard played a small role. Look, his role may increase. Maybe they found a hidden gem here, and he plays more late in the season, but for now, nowhere close to fantasy relevance.
All right, how about another tight end that sort of has had some flirts with fantasy relevance, and that's Taysom Hill. All right, he had a reception for 2 yards. He also had 4 carries for 81 yards and a touchdown, 15.3 fantasy points. Mike, it's the Taysom Hill resurgence all over again, but are you buying it here now in 2022?
Nope, I'm not. I'm going to just throw water on all of these guys. Look, as of now, he's a top 5 scoring tight end for this week. He had the 83 yards. He had the touchdown. A lot of that came on that one long play, as we know. They ran 57 offensive plays in this game. He was on the field for 15 of them. So it's the same old Taysom Hill kind of versatile offensive weapon role. It's not enough to be a consistent fantasy producer. Juwan Johnson was on the field for 28 of the 30 pass plays. He seems to be the number one tight end right now. Adam Trautman played well ahead of Taysom Hill as well. And look, I know it's easy to say, you know, you can keep saying he doesn't play a lot, but he still scores touchdowns. But he doesn't have big fantasy weeks that often. It's very rare. If you look at the last two seasons and cross off the quarterback weeks, right, where he was playing every snap at quarterback, he only has 3 weekly finishes better than 14th among tight ends. So not a guy you're really ever going to want to put in your starting lineup unless his playing time drastically increases. And honestly, that's probably a long shot.
Yeah, I think you're right from that standpoint. All right, we got two more that I want to ask you about, Mike Clay. Next one is Corey Davis. 9 targets, 6 catches for 77 yards, 13.7 fantasy points. With Joe Flacco under center, threw 59 times. And I think with Joe Flacco under center, they're going to be throwing a lot. Do you like Corey Davis at all moving forward as maybe a vet that you could put into your flex option if you need some help?
No, I don't. And look, he's probably going to finish again as a top 30 receiver this week. And people might think, all right, so I have myself a flex option or a wide receiver 3, to your point. And even after a 9-target game, I don't think that's the case. Look, 9 targets, yes, but they threw 62 passes in this game. And if you think, again, this is a Jets team that's going to struggle, they're going to be throwing this much all the time. No, they will not. Last season, they struggled, right? Well, they averaged 63 snaps per game last year. This game, they threw 62 passes. They're never going to be close to this. In fact, next week, I think I have them projected for like 40 dropbacks, right? It's a substantial drop off from this, and that's usually where they're going to be. Corey Davis only had a 16% target share in this game. Yes, he was second in snaps and routes among the Jets receivers, but it was very close. Garrett Wilson, the rookie, we thought might not play a lot, was only 7 routes and 1 target behind. Braxton Berrios was 13 routes and 3 targets behind. And that doesn't even, you guys, I just heard you talking about the running backs, right? The running backs had a 32% target share. That'll come down, but obviously they're going to deploy those guys in the passing game. And Ty Conklin had played a big role at tight end. Mm-hmm. He actually ran 3 more pass routes than Corey Davis in this game, 3 more pass routes. So they're spreading the ball around. They have a lot of guys, and Garrett Wilson's role is only going to increase. I didn't even mention Elijah Moore, right? And he's their number one. So too many mouths to feed. In a normal week, he's not going to come close to this volume.
All right, I got one other guy I want to ask you about. And Field and I went back and forth on this. Dontrell Hilliard, we talked about how he took away seemingly the passing game work from Derrick Henry. You look at what he did this week, 3 catches on 4 targets for 61 yards and 2 touchdowns. Is he somebody that you need to look to be able to add to your roster for potential weeks going forward?
Absolutely not. Of course not. I mean, he is no more... Yeah, I had you going, didn't I?
I know. I thought maybe a second absolutely. You were going to say something. I did.
You thought so. I had you. No, of course not. 2 touchdown catches today. They were the first touchdown catches of his career. He only played 11 snaps of a possible 60. Derrick Henry, to Field's point, dominated the snaps here. Played 72 of them, handled 21 of the 23 running back carries in this game. It was still the Henry show. And again, even in passing situations, Henry ran 13 routes. Hilliard only ran 6. So he scored on 2 of the 6 pass routes. Again, complete fluke. Barring a Henry injury, Hilliard will not be close to fantasy relevance.
Awesome. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Love being able to, you know, hang out with you during week one, do fantasy football now with you during week one. Football season's just getting started. I think we got a lot to look forward to right now this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. By the way, I gave you guys a list of names to talk about, and it was all guys like not to overreact to, and the only one we didn't talk about was the Lion. That's kind of weird.
Oh, it's weird. I didn't even see the other name on here. I don't think that we... Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, right, that's so weird. That's so weird that we're not...
For,
yeah,
today's show. Oh, I can't... Can you guys hear? I can't hear Mike anymore, so we must be... I love you, buddy. Appreciate you. Thank you, man.
All right, see you guys. He's in you, top. Who's that?
All right, in spite of the technical difficulties earlier, Liz Loza now officially joins us. Hurrah!
Hurrah!
The sky has opened up. Sunlight and rainbows, unicorns, there's a party. It's a siesta. Is that a nap?
That is a nap. That is a nap. However.
Oh, dig it. Well, okay, that might be a party for you.
I liked where you were going because after the monsoon in Chicago, it is... rainbows for one Liz Loza this evening. It's like, you know, God doesn't give with both hands, right? The Bears upset
right.
the 49ers, and then Mercury's in retrograde and nothing worked technologically. But we were not the only ones who had technical difficulties because Sunday night did not go as planned for either team, at least in the beginning.
No, it did not. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers end up coming home with the W 19-3, but it looks pretty gross across the board, Liz. And when I'm looking at this team, searching through the box scores, trying to figure out what it is that this game taught me as I walk away from week one, it looks like Leonard Fournette is back to being Leonard Fournette. I think that's my first and main takeaway from tonight.
I think that's a good takeaway. I mean, there was a lot of talk about his conditioning and, you know, where he was at over the summer. If you saw him running in that uniform, you'd realize it was a little bit snug, but it doesn't seem to be affecting him. He went off 21 carries for 127 yards. He also was targeted twice. He caught both of those for 10 more yards. I was surprised, frankly, he wasn't more involved in the passing game, particularly with Rob Gronkowski out and Chris Godwin dinged up a little bit again. We'll talk about that more in a second, though. But, you know, I think game script kind of allowed Uncle Lenny to just do his thing and rumble around.
Yeah, it really did. And that's sort of what you're looking for when you have Uncle Lenny, although I wanted to see him a little bit more involved in the passing yep. game. Last year, we sort of got spoiled a little bit. Tonight, only 2 targets. Did convert on both of them, like you said, for 2 catches for 10 yards. But you alluded to this, the passing game and what we were looking for with the wide receivers. We came in wondering, one, is Chris Godwin going to play tonight? Mm. Adam Schefter talked about it earlier this morning on Fantasy Football Now. Thought there may be a go. We'll have to see, but it might not be, you know, on a limited basis. And then he comes out here And he lit it up to start, like, one of the few plays in the beginning where Chris Godwin looked fantastic, finished with three catches for 35 yards, but left with a hamstring injury.
And that's also what Stefania warned about on FF Now, and right? Like, yes, you can come back from an injury, but the odds of re-injury early on in that return are all the higher, and that's exactly what we saw. That's why the team was supposed to keep him on a snap count, but then, you know, games get started, and he pulls off that, I think you're referencing, that 24-yard catch, and you think, okay, let's do this, especially in a moment where Tom Brady is struggling, because you saw him jawing at and chewing out his offensive line. Definitely some new pieces that have not quite gelled, and Tom Brady is not interested in being sacked ever, let alone twice in the first half, right? So if something is clicking, I can understand Todd Bowles also, you know, holding Todd Bowles officially now the head coach, not wanting to mess with any momentum that could be moving for the offense there.
I mean, I will say this from a positive perspective, Mike Evans, 5 catches for 71 yards and a touchdown, and you like to be able to see that. I really wanted to see more from Russell Gage, Liz. I wanted to see more from Russell Gage, and I don't want to say that about, well, and I didn't, like Julio Jones, 3 for 69, had 5 targets. I didn't get to see enough. I don't feel like I got to see enough to be able to understand if I want to be able to take one, have a takeaway from one of these guys leaving week one, excuse me.
I think my takeaway from Mike Evans is something that I said on FF Now, and that's when Gronk is out, or at least when he was last season, Mike Evans managed 6 overall touchdowns in that 5-game span. He also averaged over 7 targets per game. How many get tonight? 7. So I think that that's a number that you can count on. And we know that Evans always sees those high value looks, which is why he scored, right? He's Tom Brady's lone passing touchdown, I think, without Gronk. And that's also in Trayvon Diggs's coverage. And last year in this same game, Trayvon Diggs held Mike Evans to 3 catches and 24 yards. So my takeaway is that Mike Evans is continuously underrated. And I think he's going to be a top 10 ish play every week. He does, however, travel to New Orleans in week 2, and we know that there's a history between him and Marshawn Lattimore. Lattimore usually having his number.
Yeah, I feel like he usually ends up on the wrong side of the wide receiver cornerback matchup for Mike whenever we have those matchups there between the Bucks and the Saints. And on the other side of the ball tonight, Liz, oh gosh, the Dallas Cowboys were pretty much rough everywhere. Dak Prescott, 14 for 29, 134 yards, no touchdowns, 1 interception, only 2 rushes. But the thing to take away from tonight, he ended up injuring his thumb late in the game and left, ended up being replaced by Cooper Rush. Going to have to wait and see how serious it is, and fingers crossed that it's not something more serious. Yep. But that's something that if you are a Dak Prescott manager moving forward, make sure you follow @Stefania_ESPN for all the latest updates, and check in on Tuesday, because when waivers run, if you're going to have to make another decision, you want to make sure that you're out there on the week 2 waiver wire, which sucks. No one wants to have to be on waivers week 2. Ugh.
Especially at quarterback. Anyways. At least though at quarterback, I mean, you think Carson Wentz is kind of interesting. He went off today. You and Field talked about it, right? Like, there are some options, and you guys will discuss that more on Tuesday, but definitely keep track of the injury issue. I think ultimately in this game, there were just too many obstacles, and I think a lot of us overlooked them, right? The over-under on this game was set at 50.5, didn't even come near that. Dak just couldn't do all of the things. The offensive line is banged up. CeeDee Lamb, I think that's the next ouch to talk about. He did, as many people projected, have a ton of targets. He had 11 last year. He had 15 in this same game. But of those 11, he only converted, wait for it, 2 for 29 yards. Now it's getting kind of tough to defend CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is the part that's going to be tough. And I like understanding that 11 targets. Oh, man, 11 targets,
second
but only 2 catches.
Career. Second most in his career, man.
Well, I just got an update here from Jackson, who runs our social account as a part of this while we're recording this here Sunday night. From ESPN's Todd Archer, Jerry Jones is telling reporters Dak Prescott will be out a while and needs thumb surgery on his right thumb. So something to be able to think about if you're rostering Dak Prescott heading into week 2. Ugh, no one wants to have to think about that. for week two waivers, especially at quarterback. But hopefully a couple of things popped this week in your league and you have a few options out there. Let's finish talking about these Dallas Cowboys, though. Were there any other secondary pass catchers behind CD that really caught your lamb? caught your eye.
I can tell you're a little bit tired. You are 3 hours ahead of me on the East Coast. I do think Noah Brown deserves a shout out. He led the Cowboys in receiving. He is 0.4% rostered to start the season in ESPN fantasy leagues. Obviously, though, Brown is a little bit of an interesting issue because there was no Michael Gallup today. He should be back soon-ish. And so we're not quite sure what role is going to be played. And again, depending on what happens to the quarterback situation, I think the only receiver, Lamb is going to be safe in terms of volume. It's the conversions that we're going to worry about. Otherwise, Dalton Schultz, in terms of a pure pass catcher, is the position I am still most interested in and retains the most amount of value. 9 looks, 7 catches, 62 yards. You love that in a PPR friendly format. He continues to just do what he is expected to do, right? He's not going to average more than 9 yards per reception, but he is going to see enough looks and convert. And honestly, if Cooper Rush or a different, you know, maybe greener quarterback comes in, then he's that safety blanket over the middle that can continue to rack up receptions, which is obviously helpful at such a scarce and volatile position.
Absolutely. I mean, it's part of why, you know, Dalton Schultz was in one of those last tiers that we really liked at the tight end position. Yep. I was really actually hoping, to your point, if you're looking for safety valves, a lot of times if we did have somebody else replacing Dak, a lot of times you look at the running back position too, and I was really hoping to see more from either Zeke or Tony Pollard with the way that they were talked up. Being able to utilize Tony Pollard's passing game usage coming into the year, tonight just felt like a really big disappointment from that standpoint.
100%.
And it's kind of a reminder that this is Ezekiel Elliott's team still. Regardless of all the things that we've heard in the offseason and all the things that we've talked about, Zeke still looks like he's the guy here.
Yeah, he only carried the ball 10 times, but again, game script did not work in his favor from a pass-catching standpoint. He had 2 targets, only converted on 1, but Tony Pollard also had 2. And I think that's the point that you're trying to make. We wanted to see the more explosive Pollard do some damage, especially against Tampa Bay's defensive front, right? You want to get the ball out quick, give it to Pollard via the air in a quick check down or something like that. But I think, you know, Chris Collinsworth mentioned this on the broadcast, Pollard is not as good of a blocker as Zeke Elliott. And if that line is all kinds of banged up, then Pollard's just not going to be on the field for as many snaps as Zeke, and so Zeke's going to get those touches.
How tough was it to get through Chris Collinsworth's voice? Should he have just given someone else the day off?
Maybe you should have had Saturday off, you know?
Like maybe.
You work.
Pre-game got a little hard.
Yeah.
No big deal. Liz, this was great. We're going to do this every Sunday.
Yes.
We're also going to have you on the full show every Sunday, yes. Except for this Sunday, just didn't work out. But just as a reminder that you are going to be part of the full show from that standpoint. Hopefully it's not quite this late. I am exhausted. It has been a long Sunday. It's been a very long day. I want to know, heading out of today's podcast, we got to watch a full slate of our first week one games. We have one last game, Monday Night Football. Any big takeaway that you have leading into Monday Night Football? Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos going back to Seattle.
I am really hoping that Tyler Lockett sees a ton of volume. For my own purposes, I am anticipating that the Seahawks will be playing from behind, and we know that Geno Smith is the kind of quarterback. It's late for me, too. We know that Geno Smith is the kind of quarterback that tries not to make mistakes and inevitably makes them because he's trying too hard not to. But Tyler Lockett is a great fit for a quarterback like that, right? He's a technician. So I'd love to see 6 catches, 5 catches, something in that range out of Tyler Lockett. I think the story is obviously going to be Russell Wilson, though. I need Jerry Jeudy to go off. I don't think that's impossible. I did have a friend who worked closely with Denver's organization say that he heard that Jerry Jeudy and Russell Wilson have really bonded and Wilson has mentored him. So I'm hoping that that's a relationship that comes to fruition. Ooh. Both off and on the field. We should get a look at that, a peek at that. But I think, you know, you said it best on my debut on the podcast a month ago, the ceiling for Russell Wilson is unlimited, and we should get a glimpse of it tomorrow night.
You are not wrong. You are not wrong. I can't wait. I want to watch Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and figure out which one of those two wide receivers, at least in week one, I can overreact to, and then you know we can talk about for the next 2 or 3 weeks until we figure it out. All right, Liz, thank you so much. This was a ton of fun. Appreciate you. Follow Liz, in case you don't remember, at @LizLoza_FF.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. All right, I'm Daniel. Follow me at Daniel Dopp. That's it for us tonight. For us today, because it's Monday morning. So no big deal. So yeah, have a great Monday. Come back Tuesday. Stefania's going to be here like we talked about earlier on the show. All the injury updates that you need in order to get you ready for that waiver wire, the all-important week two waiver wire. So we will see you guys back on Tuesday.
No secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you, a Lions fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.